This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good Saturday morning and welcome to another edition of Nat's First Pitch here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. I'm Pete Medhurst. Great to have you with us. Last night, more drama for the Washington Nationals. But the one thing, and I tweeted this last night, and you can follow me on Twitter, at Pete Medhurst, M-E-D-H-U-R-S-T. It's pretty simple, easy as it sounds. We'll interact with you. We're not snobbish about it. You make a cool comment, nice comment. Discussion of baseball, be glad to interact with you. Just no personal attacks on the players because they're out there trying hard. And I think last night is another indication of that. Early in the game, shoddy defense. Some poor pitching early in the game. Kyle MacGowan did settle down a little bit to at least get through four innings to not to necessarily overtax the bullpen last night. But, you know, again, this club was put to the test last night. And obviously there has been so much discussion on our shows about, you know, Davey Martinez and the job that, you know, he is doing as the manager of this club. And, of course, you can only manage the 25 players you have on the roster. You can only write their names in the lineup, go get pitchers out of the bullpen that are on your lineup card that particular day. And if they don't execute, you don't execute as a manager. And that is part of the issue that has gone on. And the thing about it is all you have to do is ask the players. The players, and this is what 99% of all professional players, they will tell you when their play is not up to that level, and this group has consistently done that. They have not run from the fact that they haven't played that well, that they haven't executed pitches. But what they have shown you is when they fall behind, they keep coming. Doesn't matter how far behind they are. They take professional at-bats for the most part. They go up to the plate, and until that 27th out is made against them, this club continues to fight. And that's why you hear Davey Martinez talk about that all the time. He also talks about playing clean baseball. They didn't do that last night. Trey Turner, defensively right now, and this is the case with the Amed Rosario play against the Mets the other day, Wilson Ramos play the other day. Right now, Trey Turner's got to get a little more aggressive at the shortstop position. Instead of waiting back on balls now and trusting that shotgun of an arm that he has, he's got to attack the baseball a little bit better from that shortstop position. And that happened to him last night. Sits back, that in-between hop plays him instead of him playing the ball, and it leads to, you know, errors that, you know, allow the Marlins to score runs, extend innings, make your pitcher throw more pitches. And I think that's the one thing that I've noticed, at least in the plays this week that have featured him defensively, is he has played back and stayed back instead of moving up and attacking the baseball. And I'm sure that's something that Davey Martinez and his staff will address with Turner, and they'll make those adjustments. I don't think you'll see Trey continue to play back as much. Sometimes you have to. I mean, that's by the nature of every play. But the things that I think have caught him this week, it's just the simple nature of coming in and being aggressive on the baseball, and that way those hops don't play you and you play them instead. Last night, this drama continued to unfold. You're looking at it, you're thinking, my gosh, this team's going to lose six in a row. The Marlins had come in winning six in a row. And look, the Marlins are up there. Those guys are playing with house money. They're going up there, they're attacking the baseball, and they're making you throw strikes. And if you throw bad pitches, they're going to attack them. And they've been in a pretty good run at the plate. But when the chips are down, your best players have to come through. And it's hard to say that, you know, you have to put all your chips in a 20-year-old's basket. But last night, Juan Soto saw a 100-mile-an-hour pitch. And as every time he does something good, I go hashtag Super Soto. Let's make that run. Whenever you see Super Soto do something, go hashtag Super Soto on Twitter. Let's make it something here in D.C. Juan Soto last night did just that.
Now the pitch. Swing and a drive hit well to left center field. It's deep. This one way back. This one is going, going, and gone. Goodbye. Bang, zoom goes Juan Soto into the brewhouse red seats with his eighth home run of the year. His third hit of the game. RBIs 31, 32, and 33. And how about those 15 hits now in his last 30 official at-bats? And he's given the Nationals the lead. It's Washington 11 and Miami 9. Unbelievable. Guerrero ready. Here's the pitch. Swing and a drive by Adams. Deep right center field. Way back. Going. 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 Goodbye. Back to back they go. Soto and now Adams with his fourth home run of the year. Guerrero throwing him as hard as he can. The Nats hitting him as hard and as high and as far as they can. Bang, zoom goes Adams. His 100th career big league home run. It's now Washington 12, Miami 9.
Juan Soto followed by Big City, as I like to call him, the Slippery Rock Slugger, Matt Adams. Back-to-back jacks in the eighth inning last night, and the Nationals get the job done. They did have to sweat out a little bit with Sean Doolittle in the bottom of the ninth inning, but Doo got it done despite an Alfaro home run. By the way, that home run went 456 feet. A ball was flying out of Nationals Park last night. Juan Soto's 399, Matt Adams is 391. But again, when we ask professional athletes, when we pay our admission to go to the ballpark, we simply ask them to give us the price of admission every night in terms of effort. This team continues to do that, irregardless of final result, win or loss. If you pay to go watch a Nationals game, you're getting effort from this team. Sometimes when you try to execute that effort, it does work against you. There's no doubt about it. But in the case of this club right now, they continue to play hard each and every night. And I think when you go to the ballpark, you can certainly think you're going to get your money's worth from this club. Victor Robles last night with a big double to score Brian Dozier and Juan Soto to tie the game at 8. I mean, this team was down constantly last night. Obviously, you're down in the first inning after a two-run homer. Adam Eaton comes back with a homer. But you're down 4-1. You get to 4-4. Curtis Granderson, who made a hell of a defensive play last night, crashing into the wall. You know, that guy continues to go at 38 years old, and he hit a home run to put the Marlins back on top. They build on that in the fifth on RBI hits by Ramirez and Alfaro, but then the Nats started their comeback. Adams with an RBI ground out, Turner a single, Robles a double to score two. All of a sudden, it's 8-8, but Castro with an RBI single in the eighth inning to make it 9-8 before the Nationals had to come back again and continued to do that last night. So from that standpoint, you know, all you ask is please give me great effort when I pay to come to the ballpark and watch. And I do believe you are getting that from these players. I believe they show up every night and try to play. Sometimes the execution just works against you. Baseball and any sport, when you try to master, it's a humbling game. Nobody's perfect in any sport. You know, that's the beauty of athletics. It's the beauty of our jobs that we go to every day. None of us are perfect. You know, we flub names here on 106.7 The Fan from time to time. We give the wrong score because for some reason our minds and our mouths don't work on the same page. But this club right now, I truly believe, is giving you every ounce of effort that they have. It's just sometimes the execution is off. The manager, Davey Martinez, after last night's 12-10 win over the Marlins.
Sloppy, but it was a win. So what do you make of that? I mean, I know you guys.
It was sloppy. No, sloppy game. But hey, you know what? I said this all. You know, I'm tired of saying it, but I'll keep reiterating. These guys don't quit and they play hard. You know, but we got to play better.
I mean, you know, we got to be consistent. You know, if we want to win every day and have a chance to win every day, we got to be consistent. We really do. You know, but I'm proud of these guys for not quitting. They could have folded early. I mean, it was, you know, we made some errors. McGowan was up early in the game. He settled down, got the ball down, got ground balls. We made some errors. We missed a pop fly. But you know what? They battled back. They battled, and they keep battling. It's to no surprise with these guys now. I mean, the way they come back and keep playing and keep playing. But with that being said, we have to play clean baseball. I mean, I know I sound like a broken record, but we have to. If we're going to come back and do the things we want to do, we have to play clean baseball. But, I mean, hey, I can tell you right now, you know, if I was a fan, I'm frustrated. I am. And you know, and I am a fan of these guys because I know them. And they don't want to play like that. I know they don't. But, hey, I keep telling them every day, simplify. You're not going to win 14 games with just one game. Play one game. Just play one game. Every pitch of every inning, just play that pitch and move on from there. Don't think you're going to win, make up all these games and won. Okay, just play the game. Simplify everything. Just play hard. They play hard. But we got to clean it up.
Can mistakes happen when guys maybe are trying to win a bunch of games in one game?
You know what? I saw a little bit of pressure today. I really did. You know, when you fall behind like that, you know, the first inning, and then all of a sudden you come back, you score a run, and the second inning they score two more runs. Yeah, I mean, there's pressure. And I saw a little bit today, but you know what? They hung in there, the dugout was just electric, you know, and they were fired up the whole game. It was fun. I mean, and you saw what they did. I mean, you know, Soto with a big homer, and then Matt comes up behind him, and Rendon with a big homer. I mean, the guys, they put the ball in play. They took their walks. I mean, but let's play the whole, you know, we got to start playing the whole game, everything, all aspects of the game, pitching, defense, hitting, base running. Let's just play clean baseball.
Have you seen that pressure before? And if not, you know,
today was the first time I saw, you know, a little bit of, I mean, I saw a little bit yesterday as well, you know, Dozier trying to make something happen. But, you know, like I said, keep everything simple. You know, don't chase the game. I mean, play the game. You guys have been doing it your whole lives. Have fun. Just you let it come to you and do it. I mean, we had good at-bats today. But let's play baseball the right way. I mean, let's start playing baseball. We got a good team. I know that. We got good defense. I mean, we got young studs. We got veterans that can play the game. We got good pitching. Our bullpen's going to be okay. I'm telling you, I know our bullpen's going to be good. But let's play the game the right way.
Not to belabor the point, but what made it today that you think that started bubbling up?
I saw, you know, the ground balls, staying back on ground balls, you know, the missed pop-up, the Dozier catches 1,000 times, you know, trying to make, you know, perfect pitches. I mean, I saw a little bit of that today, you know, and I know it's a fight. And I tell the boys, hey, keep fighting every day, you know. The wins are going to come. The wins will pile up. Just keep fighting, keep playing the baseball, you know. Make it fun. You know, I always tell them, you know, don't permit the pressure to exceed the pleasures of the game. It's fun. Love it. Boys love it. They love playing. I love watching them play. So love the game for what it is. And go out there and play.
Davey, in New York, a lot of the talk was about just getting that big hit, timely hit. Soto's home run. I mean, how did that ignite the ball club?
It was huge. Yeah, and where he hit it. You know, I mean, and that's him. You know, when he starts using the middle of the field, he's really good, and he's been doing that. So, you know, he's fine right now. You know, I love Adam Eaton's at bats today and his walks. You know, beautiful. You know, Trey's got some. You know, got a big hit for us. You know, all these guys, Rendon. I mean, I could go all the way down the line, but just play baseball. And that's all I ask these guys to do every day. Hey, just play hard.
He wants 15 for his last 30.
You touched on it there, but I guess what maybe has flipped for him in this stretch?
Just look, swinging at strikes, using the whole field. He's really good when he uses the whole field, except in his walks.
That's Nats manager Davey Martinez after last night's 12-10 win over the Miami Marlins. Same two teams coming up this afternoon. Sandy Alcantara, Patrick Corbin on the bump for Washington. We'll have the pregame show with Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler starting at 3:35 this afternoon with those 12 runs last night. Today, 50% off your pizza order at PapaJohns.com. Go to PapaJohns.com, put in your order today, and use the code NATS50, N-A-T-S-5-0. Use the code NATS50, and you'll get 50% off your online order today at Papa John's. Once again, Charlie and Dave with the action at 3:35 this afternoon of the Nats and Marlins coming up here on The Fan. Yesterday, Chris Russell had a chance to talk with our Radio.com insider and Major League Baseball Network's John Heyman. We'll have that conversation when we return. We'll also go around the league. Slow pitch softball numbers continue around Major League Baseball. The Nats 12 spot, that wasn't even the highest run total put up by a winning team last night. There were exactly four teams that scored double digits and won. Remember, the Marlins scored 10 and lost. So that's five teams overall that scored in double digits in baseball last night. We'll tell you who that big total was coming up a little bit later on as well. But Chris Russell with John Heyman of Radio.com and MLB Network when we return. This is Nat's First Pitch on a Saturday morning right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back to Nat's First Pitch on a Saturday morning. Pete Medhurst with you. Great to have you with us. Nats and Marlins coming up at 4:05 this afternoon and throughout the Memorial Day weekend. The Nats and Marlins wraparound series, Sunday's action down at the ballpark at 1:35, and then on Monday, the action starts at 1:05 on getaway day for the Nationals as they will head to Atlanta for action on Tuesday and Wednesday, and we'll have more on that coming up in the final segment of the show. Yesterday, Chris Russell talked with our Radio.com insider, John Heyman, got his thoughts on the Nationals and some other things around Major League Baseball, and he asked John, was he shocked that the Nats have struggled so mightily here at 20-31 this early in the season?
Oh, I'm shocked. They're the most underachieving team in baseball. I don't think there's any question about that. Nobody saw them more than 10 games under at this point. I mean, this is a pretty early stage. I know it's the first marker, but we're not even one-third the way through the season. I think there are only three teams at most worse than the Nats right now. And right. On paper, they should not be that bad. They're a little bit top-heavy. They obviously have some stars. They lost Harper, but they have some very good young players. They have a terrific top three in the order. On paper, they should be, at worst, a 500 team.
I agree that they should be right in that hunt. There's no doubt that they should be better than what they are. And I guess the obvious question is, and I know you had an exchange on Twitter with a couple of one of my colleagues, Grant Paulson, yesterday about Dusty Baker, and a lot of national baseball people certainly feel that's where it turned for the worse for Mike Rizzo and the Nationals. But I guess to spin it forward, my question to you, if Dusty Baker was the manager of this ball club today, where do you think they would be? I guess, what do you think is fair if Dusty was still in charge and not treated the way he was by the Lerners?
Yeah, I mean, he won more than 90 games both years.
Right.
So, I mean, it's hard to guess exactly where he'd be, where they'd be. I know he's great with a clubhouse. He's great with a team. You know, he may not be the top guy in terms of the strategy, but he's good enough considering how great he is with the players mm-hmm. and the team. So, you know, I don't want to put a number on it, but right. I can't see them being this bad. And I'm not trying to cast aspersions on Davey Martinez. I'm not blaming him. Obviously, the bullpen is the biggest issue right sure. now with the way the team has performed. But I got to think they'd be better with Dusty Baker. And I'm not blaming Mike Rizzo either. That was an ownership call.
Absolutely.
He was talking to Dusty Baker about a contract extension during the season, didn't come to fruition probably because ownership pulled it back and said, let's wait and see. And they saw it, and they said, you know, he didn't win that first series. They were frustrated not winning the first series. They've done that a few times, as you guys know,
right.
but they overplayed it. You know, you can be frustrated one thing, but you got to make wise decisions. And that was one of the worst I've seen in decades.
John Heyman with us, Radio.com Sports Insider, host of the Big Time Baseball Podcast, MLB Insider, at John Heyman on Twitter. So using your analysis, your history, your expertise, just in terms of these situations, Davey Martinez is largely credited with, you know what, being player-friendly. The players play hard for him. They're not playing well. We understand that. But they're playing hard. They don't give up. They come back in games, John. They squander them. You mentioned the bullpen. why does it work for a guy like Dusty wherever he's been, and why does it seemingly not work for a guy like Davey Martinez inheriting largely the same team?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to put a finger on it, but obviously the manager is in the line of fire. He does get blamed. You know, maybe it's not his fault. Maybe it is all the bullpen. It doesn't seem like he's made obviously terrible moves, but the fact that they underperformed last year, at least in terms of what we figured that they would do right. and what they ended up doing, which right. was, I think, 82-80 or
yep.
thereabouts.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
And then you come with this, you know, it's hard to see if this doesn't get better. It's hard to see him surviving. I don't think they're going to do it immediately, but he's clearly on the hot seat. Whether that's his fault or not, I don't know. But you know, you probably can't take that chance and go for a third season. I don't think anybody survives two seasons where you play 10 games worse than expectations in both of them.
How important do you think experience for a manager is? And the reason why I ask that is because you see what Rocco Baldelli's doing with Minnesota. They're, you know, they're winning two out of every three games. They lead baseball in home runs. They had 14,000 home runs yesterday, and they're on top of the AL Central. You see what Cash has done in Tampa, 90-win team in baseball's toughest division last year. Again, no experience there, no payroll, no budget, no resources seemingly outside of a great farm system, yet. And then, of course, Cora and what Boone did in New York and Boston last year, they didn't have managerial experience, yet all of those guys have done wonders in their first year early in their managerial career, and everybody seems to blame that as the reason why Davey Martinez and the Nationals haven't connected.
Yeah, you need to have a knack, that's first of all, and you probably need a little bit of luck, that's second of all, unless you're an absolute savant like I believe Alex Cora is, and I think several teams would have hired Alex Cora.
Mm-hmm.
As the Astros bench coach, I know the Mets probably would have if he had been willing to go, but he had the opportunity to go to a team that was about to win 108 games.
Right.
I mean, maybe they wouldn't have done it without him. So Alex Cora was an obvious choice with limited experience. Davey Martinez has been a bench coach, certainly was with Tampa, with the Cubs. I mean, it's been a decade or so, and you know, I think it's more a matter of a knack. I think Davey Martinez is a terrific guy. You know, maybe it's not his fault, but, you know, once you get to be a year and a half and you're way, way, probably 20 games under at that point, what you'd expect,
mm-hmm.
he's gonna take the fall. I think it's just more of a knack. I do think, certainly the trend is going the way of the inexperience. I think it's doable, especially now where in a lot of situations the managers looked at as middle management, and a lot of the decisions are made in the front office. You know, Boone obviously has done well as well. Cash, as you mentioned, Baldelli, it can be done, and I'm not opposed to it, but you know, you have to pick the right guy. And again, Davey Martinez, terrific coach, terrific guy, but you know, it doesn't seem to be working at this point.
One more sort of Nationals-related question, if you can allow me. And this is a hypothetical, so I'm just asking for your opinion. Of course, Buck Showalter and Joe Girardi have been mentioned as potential replacements here. The guy that they removed from the position, Dusty Baker, is still out there as a special advisor to the Giants. If I presented those three guys to you, and I said all three of those guys are available for whatever team, fill in the blank, doesn't have to be the Nationals, to be the next manager, which one would you choose out of those three?
Yeah, I probably go with Dusty. I mean, I just think he's fantastic with the clubhouse, fantastic with the team. All these guys who've managed a decade or more are going to have some negatives. You know, it's like looking at Joe Biden, right? You're going
right.
to see some negatives if he's done it long enough.
Yeah.
He's made some mistakes.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously all three accomplished, all three very bright, all three very good at that job. But if you tell me to pick one out of those three, I'm going to go with Dusty Baker, even though I kind of work with Joe Girardi. Baker would be my choice.
John Heyman, Radio.com Sports Insider, host of the Big Time Baseball Podcast, at John Heyman, one of the preeminent Major League Baseball insiders in the industry, breaks a ton of news, obviously a must-follow, must-listen, and great to have him here with us on 106.7 The Fan in the nation's capital. John, the Philadelphia Phillies and Bryce Harper, 29-21. The NL East isn't as good as I guess everybody thought it would be, although the Mets showing a little sign of life here. Braves 500. We've already talked about the Nationals, and all of a sudden the Marlins are red hot, but the Phillies and Harper, how is that marriage going so far, and is winning I guess, solving all, or is there something to kind of monitor and watch moving forward here?
Yeah, I think two pluses. One is that they're winning. That's great. And certainly they're gonna, he's not a quarterback, so he's not directly responsible. But I think with a $330 million deal, you're going to look at, are they winning? Is that worth working out? The other thing is Philly, tough town, booing. He's already been through some booing. He had a slump. His average has been down to 220. He got some booing. He handled it, you know. Now, if it goes on for years and years, it'd be tougher to do it. But
right.
Not everybody can handle booing. So, you know, I think he's pretty tough and can do that. I think the town is good for him. He wanted to be in the biggest market, biggest city. But in terms of sports, you know, Philly may not be New York or Chicago or L.A., but in terms of sports, the people are into it. And you are absolutely right. That division is not what it was cracked up to be. I thought it would be very good. I thought the Central and the East were both good divisions. Mm-hmm. Right now, the Central looks excellent. The East looks very weak.
Is one last one, and we'll let you out of here. I think I know where you're going to go with this, but I'll ask it anyway. Is the NL Central clearly better than the AL East for 1-2 in terms of division supremacy, if you will? I know that's a made-up thing. Because of the Orioles and the Toronto, or because of the top-heavy nature of the AL East, does that kind of balance things out if we're just looking at hypothetically the best division in baseball?
Yeah, for divisions in terms of well-balanced top to bottom, you can't beat the Central. Maybe this will be a cop-out, but you're talking about which one's more likely to have a world champion. It's
right.
The AL East. You got three teams there, I think, and certainly two of them could easily be the world champion, and I can't write off Tampa here. I've always written them off, and I've always been wrong. So Central, I think, is really good and balanced. Cincinnati, much improved. Pittsburgh, dangerous. St. Louis, we know they've got players. They should be better than this. And obviously Milwaukee and the Cubs are really good. You know, I think Milwaukee and the Cubs could win the World Series. So I think you got two teams there also. But, at the top, I would have to favor Yankees and Red Sox and Rays and say that they're a better top than the Central.
One quick one for you, and we'll let you go. Minnesota, how are they so good? Again, we mentioned Baldelli. We mentioned they maul home runs. John, they have a plus 90 run differential. That's tied with Houston for the best in the American League. How crazy is that? That's absurd.
Well, great offense. You know, I went there late in spring, and I was impressed. You know, obviously spring stats aren't everything, but they were killing the ball.
Right.
I mean, they really were killing it, and I decided to go with them and pick them. And I'm not the only one that picked them. Some people said to themselves, you know what, the number one starter for Minnesota would be number four or five for Cleveland. So how could you pick against Cleveland? But the reality of it is, the number one starter for Minnesota, Berríos, is excellent. And Odorizzi and Gibson are solid. And their offense is just relentless. I didn't expect Polanco to hit like this. And there's certain, I would say, statistical outliers I don't think we were expecting. But I thought offensively they were in the top five in baseball. So I thought, you know, with Cleveland taking a step back, Ramirez struggling at the end of last year, questioned the outfield for Cleveland. I didn't expect Clevinger and Kluber to get hurt. I think that's really hurt them. But, I mean, it's almost over now. At this point, I think, you know, Cleveland's got some shot to hang in there. But,
right.
You know, at this point, with their injuries and the way they've performed, I think the Twins are going to win that division rather easily.
That's John Heyman, Radio.com Insider, with our Chris Russell, who's in for Chad Dukes on Chad Dukes versus the World. And certainly our thoughts extended to Chad and his extended family with the loss of his stepmother, and also the fact that some storm damage found him, if you follow on Twitter. And, you know, you hope that in situations like that, the damage is at a minimum. But certainly our thoughts are with Chad and his family this weekend. Coming up, we'll go around the league as, again, some just ginormous numbers put up around Major League Baseball last night. Even the teams that didn't get to double figures, there were a couple that almost did in some of the games last night. Pitching right now, it's not just bad at times with your own ball club. You know, it's like this all around Major League Baseball. As this game has expanded through the years, that's more and more top-flight pitchers that you need. And right now, you know, there's just not a lot of that going around. We got young guys being run up to the major leagues probably a lot faster than they need to be. All you have to do, look at Lucas Giolito, who seemingly now has finally figured it out. What a month of May he has had for the Chicago White Sox. You know, that's a prospect that the Nats identified and said, hey, we think this guy has something. And it turns out, you know, maybe he does, but it just took a long time for it to develop with the right-hander. The division last night, Phillies, Atlanta getting wins. The Mets go down to Detroit. We'll give you all the details when we return. This is Nats First Pitch right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. Final segment of Nats First Pitch here on a Saturday morning. Great to have you with us here on 106.7 The Fan. Pete Medhurst with you. Jim Jester, our producer-engineer, doing all the hard work. I just sit here and run my mouth. Nats winners last night, 12-10. But let's start in the double figures with the lowest run total. The Dodgers behind Walker Buehler, no problems in Pittsburgh last night, winning by a score of 10-2. The Dodgers, of course, leaders out west in the National League West. Dave Roberts says Walker Buehler did a good job attacking the strike zone and keeping that big lead at hand.
I thought the curveball was pretty good, and that I call it the low bullet. You know, that fastball down at the low part of the strike zone. I thought he did a really good job of pitching in there effectively.
David Freese with a grand slam in that game, giving Walker Buehler all of the run support that he would need last night. Meanwhile, in Chicago, Cincinnati gets the job done. Eugenio Suarez with a two-run homer in the ninth inning off of Steve Cishek as the Reds rally to beat the Cubs 6-5 in that one. Kyle Schwarber had a home run. Chris Bryant home run. Anthony Rizzo home run for the Cubs in that game. Yasiel Puig crushed one 431 feet himself. Suarez at 445. In fact, all five home runs in that game were monster shots. Schwarber's the longest at 449 feet in that contest. And as someone who plays for the Churchton Hustlers, team manager Pete Medhurst appreciates Kyle Schwarber's home run contribution to our team last night. Kyle Hendricks went 6-3 earned runs, 9 strikeouts. Anthony DeSclafani touched for 3 2/3, 5 hits, and 4 earned runs for the Reds yesterday. David Hernandez picked up the win in relief. He's now 1-2 on the season. Meanwhile, it was the Padres and Toronto in Toronto last night. Matt Whistler gets the win. Craig Stammen got the save last night for the Padres as they win it by a score of 6-3. Detroit and New York almost got to double digits last night. Buck Farmer beats Drew Gagnon. Shane Green picks up the save in that one as the Tigers. Jacoby Jones homering and driving in 4 runs. He also had a go-ahead double in the 7th inning. Miguel Cabrera connecting for the Tigers as well. I believe Miguel Cabrera, he reminds me of a guy that could be like Julio Franco, could come to the plate when he's 50 years old and still get a hit in a Major League Baseball game. The guy is just that gifted in terms of hand-eye coordination hitting the baseball, as Cabrera hit one last night for Detroit in the contest. Rosario with a home run, Echeverria with a home run for the Mets, Alonso with the home run last night, Altair with a home run. I mean, balls just flying out of ballparks all over Major League Baseball for the most part. So Buck Farmer got the win in relief. He's now 3-3 on the campaign. Shane Green with his, how about this, 16th save of the season. Shane Green was one of my relievers last year in fantasy baseball and did just fine. He's having another fine campaign there. You heard John Heyman talk about Cleveland earlier. And, you know, unless they're going to get some pitching, you know, right now some of the things in terms of their lineup, not consistent at all. But last night they, of course, played Tampa Bay and get the job done, winning it by a score of 3-1. 2 in the bottom of the 8th. A.J. Cole now 2-1 on the year. Brad Hand picked up his 13th save of the season for the Tribe in that one. Houston edged Boston last night. At home, Wade Miley gets the win in relief. Chris Sale took the loss. Roberto Osuna gets the save in that contest as Houston wins it by a score of 4-3. Jake Marcinik homering in the 2nd inning off of Chris Sale, making the 3rd inning to get the early 2-0 lead for Houston, and they would make it hold up. Red Sox score one in the eighth and one in the ninth. But Houston gets the win last night by a score of 4-3. Astros playing some terrific, terrific baseball right now. One of my favorite teams to watch. Outside of the Nationals, George Springer, probably my favorite player around Major League Baseball, either him or Lorenzo Cain for the most part. Love watching those guys play. And Houston right now continuing to play good baseball. Jake Marcinick saying his homer in the third got him and the team fired up.
That one fired me up. Keep a runner off the base there. Ended up home run being hit. So, these guys go out and grind every day for us. So Ozuna did a great job finishing that thing out.
The Astros winning it by a score of 4-3 last night. They continue to roll right now in the American League West. That race is pretty much over, barring a collapse by the Astros. Vince Velasquez outdueling Freddie Peralta. Hector Neris with a save for the Phillies last night. Andrew McCutchen hit a tie-breaking double in the sixth inning as the Phillies got a terrific work out of their bullpen last night to hold off Milwaukee by a score of 6-4, 6-11-0 for the Phils, 4-8-0 for the Brew Crew. And that one as Philadelphia continues to turn it around here. They've won a couple in a row. And again, if you're the Nationals, you need a team like the Brewers to get the job done here against a team like the Phillies. And, you need some contribution from Milwaukee to try and help you get back in the race a little bit. And if you don't get it, you're winning last night, but you're still looking at the standings going, wow, we're 10 back right now. You've got to get some help from Milwaukee here. Christian Yelich, by the way, with his 20th home run of the season for Milwaukee in the loss last night. Vince Velasquez with the record now at 2-2. Hector Neris with his ninth save of the season for the Philadelphia Phillies. Mike Foltynewicz picks up the win as Atlanta beat St. Louis last night by a score of 5-2. Dansby Swanson homering twice in that game for Atlanta, who after a tough start to the season, continuing to put it together.
Home, road, doesn't matter. We try and play our brand of baseball everywhere we go, and I think that we're starting to do that. Good pitching, good defense, timely hitting. And I think it's been fun for the last couple weeks.
Yeah, they were under 500 at one point, but they are starting to put it together. Nats will be heading to Atlanta coming up on Tuesday to have a look at the Braves for the first time this season. Obviously, terrible weather in the Midwest this week. We've seen some cancellations in Kansas City and St. Louis, and last night the Yankees in Kansas City were postponed because of rain, and certainly our sympathies to those throughout the Midwest portion of the country as well, who had terrible, terrible tornado issues, and to our friends in Howard County here who had it the day before yesterday as well. Orioles were up early 5-1 on Colorado, but it's a game in Colorado, so nothing is for certain. And, of course, Colorado would come from behind to win the game. Trevor Story became the fastest shortstop to reach 100 homers, even bettering the mark of Alex Rodriguez, and then hit a game-winning home run as the Rockies rally to beat the Orioles. A two-run shot by Story in the bottom of the ninth inning off of Michael Givens, and the Rockies win it by a score of 8-6 last night. So the Rockies, who are a team that can flat out rake, Nolan Arenado 3-for-4, he's hitting .325. Story, who struggled a little bit early in the season, he went 2-for-4, both of them home runs, one 448 feet, and then the game winner 392 feet last night for the Rockies in that one as they win it by a score of 8-6 last night. Pedro Severino, the former Oriole, went 1-for-4 last night for the Orioles in that contest. And, when you watch the Orioles, you watch a bullpen that, of guys, Blyer's been there for a couple of seasons off and on now for this club, pretty solid performer in the past, but his ERA right now at 10.24 for them. Good story's been Brandon Kline, a Maryland product who continues to get the job done. University of Virginia, shocker there, out of Frederick, Maryland. The 27-year-old right-hander continues to pitch solid baseball out of the bullpen for the Orioles as he came in and struck out 3 in a scoreless inning of work last night for the Orioles. In fact, now he's had back-to-back outings where he has not allowed a run for the Birds and only has been scored on in 2 of his outings. So good for the Frederick native, and a product out of the University of Virginia. They seem to know what the heck they're doing at the University of Virginia. And I say that, of course, sarcastically, tongue-in-cheek, certainly as someone who watches a lot of college baseball. And even though this year has been a little bit of a down year for the Cavs compared to the great success they've had in the past, they turn out some products, man, in Major League Baseball. And Brandon Kline certainly holding up his end of the bargain as a relief pitcher now for the Baltimore Orioles. Elsewhere, the final couple of ball games on the scoreboard last night, in addition to the Nats 12-10 victory, Oakland beat Seattle by a score of 6-2. Lou Trevino over Wade LeBlanc in that one. Texas over the Angels 4-3. I think the Rangers have been one of the better stories in the league so far this year. Not much was expected. And how about Sean Kelly out of the bullpen? Guy's got five saves now here for Texas. He's pitching outstanding for the Rangers, as they've pretty much turned to him now as their late-inning reliever. And when you look at Sean's log over the last 10 games, he's given up just one run over the last 10, and his ERA down to 1.59 on the season for the former national right-hander. And look, Sean Kelly's a good dude. You know, maybe perhaps a spot of emotion got to him. And, you know, obviously at the time, that's made a decision to release the player. But if you listen to Grant and Danny during the week, they used to have Sean on quite a bit. He's a good dude, and you're glad to see his success, especially with all of the arm injuries. He knows the next pitch could be his last at any point for the Rangers because of all the arm issues, and thank goodness he's pitching well right now. Drew Smyly got the win, Cam Bedrosian the loss. And the final one, Arizona beat San Francisco 18-2 last night. The former Nat Robbie Ray gets the win, Drew Pomerantz the loss in the contest last night. Finally, news, as you heard on Chris Lingbach's show leading up to this on the download, you heard maybe with the Junkies and me doing a segment on Friday morning. The Nationals have entrusted me to join Charlie Slows this week and do play-by-play of games in Atlanta and Cincinnati. Dave Jagler will move over to take over for Bob Carpenter this week on TV, as Bob will have the week off. And, you know, for somebody that grew up from the age of five to now, you know, wanting to be a broadcaster. That's what I wanted to be. Used to have a tape recorder when I was 5 years old, old Panasonic cassette tape recorder that my grandfather gave me. I'd sit in front of the TV doing games of all kinds. And for the Nationals to entrust me with their play-by-play on the radio this week to join Charlie, it's certainly an honor. It is certainly a privilege. And as Nationals fans, and of course all of my guys here, our program director, Chris Kinard, who supports our air staff in an unbelievable way, all the great folks over at the Nationals who are giving me this opportunity this week, I will do my very best not to let you down and appreciate the opportunity coming up this week, as I'll be with them starting Tuesday in Atlanta. First pitch on Tuesday night coming up here on 106.7 The Fan. As we're looking ahead, spying the pitching matchups ahead of time on Tuesday, Steven Strasburg on the hill for the 7:20 first pitch. We will talk to you then. I'll be with you Sunday afternoon for Nats Talk Live. Join me following the game coming up tomorrow afternoon. It's a 1:35 first pitch today, Saturday, first pitch at 4:05. Baseball throughout the Memorial Day weekend right here on 106.7 The Fan. For Jim Jester, I'm Pete Medhurst. Thanks for joining us for Nats First Pitch right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.